All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. This is FluffTube. This is going to make YouTube. I'm certain of it. Went through the rules and regulations beforehand, so I think we're clear on everything. I'm with Stacey Bowles. She is a best-selling author of The Rapture. What's the name of the book? The Rapture.
For a second chance, turn the page.
The Rapture. For a second chance, turn the page. A story of faith, prophecy, and revelation. The clock is ticking, the end is near, and Casey is prepared. So this is a novel, correct?
Yes, it reads as a novel.
So would you say it's based on fiction, but there's a lot of truth to it? Is that it's kind of like a preparedness guide or a manual for when it happens?
Yes, what it is it reads as a novel, so it keeps the reader interested, it keeps you on your toes, and by the time you finish the book, you realize the importance of the mission of this book, which is to prepare your lost loved ones so they have a second chance after the rapture.
And this is available on Amazon.
It's available on Amazon or on my website, therevelationgeneration.com.
Wow, beautiful. Let's talk about this, because this is, you know, a lot of people are just throwing this around now. I feel like we're close. You know, like anybody who is watching the news, watching world events, where we're at politically, where we're at in Hollywood, the entertainment world, it's like there's a huge exposing happen, a huge revealing. And a lot of people say that they believe we're living in the apocalypse. I feel like we're definitely there. I think we're living in the apocalypse. Now, I think that we're just years away for it to really escalate to where maybe an antichrist is introduced. All the bad stuff they talk about in the Bible happens. I mean, how close are we in your mind? Do you think we're months away, years away, decades away? I guess you can't really know, but what's your opinion on that?
I don't think we're decades. I think it's sooner than that. I could easily see it happening within the next 10 years. I don't think it'll be in the next year or two, but I do think it could be within a 10-year time frame. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, but I like what Charles Capp said. He said that even though we don't know the day or the hour, there could be something so major happen that the Christians, their eyes will be open, and they will know that we are not only in that time frame, but we're in that season, that it could be happening, you know, within months or a year of some major event that Christians will recognize as this is it, this is the end. I think
Now,
yesterday
the rapture.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I think yesterday that attack on Israel is getting a lot of Christians wondering if we're on the edge of Gog and Magog.
You know, I think about this, and I think of myself as a man of faith, but I wouldn't, I don't know if I'd be taken up in a rapture. I hope I would. Who are going to be the ones that are left behind? You know, is when the rapture comes, this, they're taking the good, they're going to be separating the real righteous from the rest of us, or, and I say that, because the ones that will be left here, it's going to be like a hell on earth, correct? It's going
it
to be
will be
terrible.
Yes, I feel like the first 3.5 years will be unbearable, but not impossible to survive and live. The last 3.5 years, you will not want to be here. And Christians are not subject to the wrath of God. So, you know, we don't know at what time point we are going to go in the rapture. But the people that are left behind, I believe, you know, the Christians, all those who have, you know, claim Jesus as their Messiah and they believe in Christ, they will go in the rapture. Those that are left behind are the ones that will have to know what to do. And that's what my
Are
book is all
all
about.
Christians, are all Christians going to be taken up in the rapture, or are some going to be left behind? Are there going to be any that are better than others that are taken and some left here?
That is something that's debated. That's not something that I would want to be guilty of making that judgment call. It's something we're going to find out when we get to heaven. I tell people, you know, it's better to be ready, living a righteous life and watching for him. That is what the Bible says. He's coming for a righteous church, a righteous body. So I wouldn't want to be living in the world and living like a heathen and hoping I make it in the rapture at this point.
Well,
We're living it.
I've been living like that. I've been a heathen. I haven't lived the cleanest life. I'm going to say that right now. So I often wonder, like, well, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I do feel like I'm doing the Lord's work, and I've given up alcohol, and I'm, you know, trying to be a better man. Trying my hardest. But I often wonder, geez, would I make the rapture? You know, I often wonder that is, when the rapture comes, that's going to be before or during the Antichrist?
That is one more thing that's debated. I personally think that the Antichrist could come to the surface. He could be exposed. He will not have his full authority and a power from Satan until the first 3.5 years. So I know that's a little confusing for some, but some churches, some religions believe he will not come to power until after the rapture has happened. Others believe that we could see him prior. And it's one of the reasons the book of Revelation and Daniel and Ezekiel and all that is so debated and confusing and hard to decipher. But I believe that we definitely could see the Antichrist come on the stage, but not be given his power, which is what the Bible says in Revelation, given his power from Satan.
I know we're close. I feel like we're really close. I do believe, I know that's probably debatable, and a lot of people are argue with me about this, but I feel like we're living in the apocalypse. I feel like everything's being revealed right now, and I've been told that the apocalypse means that is like the great exposing, the revealing. I think everything's being revealed right now. I don't think the rapture could be that far away. I think 5 years, okay, I'll say within a decade, you know. What is that when the rapture is that when Jesus comes back and just takes his the people that deserve to go to heaven with him? Is that how that works?
Yes, that's where we disappear in a twinkling of an eye.
And they're gone, people are gone.
Yes.
So, what does the world look like post-rapture?
Like I said, the first 3.5 years, it's going to be bad, but I don't think it's going to be to the point that someone can't survive. Which is, I put little notes in my book of what it could look like. I believe there's a chance we're going to go to the cashless society prior to the rapture happening. I mean, all the signs around us. It seems like we're on the verge of that. But the biggest thing that's going to come once the rapture happens is being forced to take the mark of the beast. And that is what my book is all about. It's about leaving information behind so your loved ones know, do not in any circumstance take the mark of the beast. It talks about, obviously your most obvious is get a Bible, get with like-minded people, and
Is the, could the mark of the beast be this, which I'm not allowed here to say on the show, but I thought that that's when this first rolled out, I was like, oh, that's it, man. That's what I felt in my soul. I was like, if it's not that, it's the prelude to it, and I don't even want to be near that. So I've always thought it could be this, and I talked to you about what this means.
I don't think that that is it at all. If so, half the Christians alive would have already taken it. I do not think that's it, but I do without a doubt think it was a dry run. I think it was being t us being tested to see how we're going to respond. Those who are in power to make everything happen that did happen, it was just a dry run for them. And I think once the rapture happens and the mark of the beast does come into play and people are forced to take that in order to buy and sell, I think that it's going to go along the same scale as what you just demonstrated. The way we
Now,
behave during. Yep, go ahead.
some people are going to be, this will be hell for a lot of us, but it seems to me like in 2020, when the pandemic hit, a lot of people were on board with it and they were gung ho about it and they were proud to be wearing their face divers and they were proud to have gotten this. I think a lot of people are going to be proud to take the mark of the beast. You go to Whole Foods and there's people already like paying with their palm on the on the machine, and they act like it's the coolest thing since sliced bread. You know what I mean? They just think that that's the best thing. So for some people like me that can see right through that using my discernment, this is going to be hell for me. Like I don't want to be any part of this. I don't want to be here. I hope to God I'm taken up in the rapture. But for some people, they'll think these coming times are just the best thing, right? I mean, they're going to be go on board of it.
Yes, I think that it is going to be made very attractive, just like, 2020, the next step, that was very attractive. Half the country took it, the other half didn't. And then we hit that point to where we compromised our values. If you wanted to travel, you took it. If you wanted to go see your mother in a nursing home, you took it. And then, we had that other stage to where they were paying people to take it. And I think that's why I call it a test run. It was a dry run to see how we would respond. So I think after the rapture, half the people are going to take the mark, and the other people say no way, but then they're going to start compromising. It's going to be a stage, and by the time you hit the mid-tribulation, which is 3.5 years, that is when it's going to be mandatory. That's when the Bible talks about woe to those who take the mark.
There's no way to stop this. There's no way. This is
Oh no,
all
it's
going to happen.
written. No, it's in the Bible. You can't stop it. I was telling a friend the other day, it's just like, you're going to go to war. You can't stop the fact that war is imminent, but you can stop the casualties, the amount of casualties. That number can be brought down by knowledge. And for me, this book is knowledge. I call it a time, it's like a time machine that you can go and leave a lifeboat for your loved ones. Because if they don't know what to do, they're gonna be like sheep to a slaughter.
So what are you telling people to do for a second chance? Turn the page. What are you telling people to do? How if they're left behind, give me some of the things that they can do. Like, what are they going to be able to do? I mean, it's going to be very, very hard times.
Yes. Well, the main part of my book is about leaving letters. So ideally, the Lord gave me this vision. This was not a book that I came up with. This was not my idea. This was literally a vision that the Lord downloaded, that people need to start writing letters for their loved ones, leave them at home. The vision I got was to have a frame at my front door with a poem. For me, it's a poem, and it's letters that are hidden for family members and friends that I know personally that do not know the Lord. So my goal is that when the rapture happens, they will get to my house, they will get that letter, they will read it and know what to do. I've even gone as far as leaving authority that they can be in my house, that they can use my car, that they have the right to live in my house, almost like writing out a will. Because once I'm gone, I don't need my house, my car, and my money. It's all theirs. So that's the goal. But they have to know to not take the mark. That is the main thing that they need to put in the letter to their family and friends, is accept Christ because you will have a second chance, and do not take the mark. And my goal with this book is that pastors will start preaching. Instead of just standing and asking for an altar call and telling people, we hope you're right with God, we need to be preparing people to prepare their loved ones, because we have the ability to kind of give away Satan's dirty little secret. He doesn't want this information out there. And it's been a challenge every step of the way with this book, and everything has been a challenge because Satan does not want this information out there. And, I could
So
ask you, can go
the
ahead.
most important thing in all of this is do not take the mark.
Right.
So once you take the mark, you belong to Satan.
That's it.
That's it.
Yes. You cannot repent after taking the mark. This is not a, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I made a mistake, forgive me. No, once you take the mark, you've accepted Satan as your Messiah, basically.
Could it be the mark would be the beast system, right? It'd be like the AI system. Could the Antichrist be the AI system? Could it be the beast system itself? Or do you think that the Antichrist will be a person?
I believe the Antichrist will be a person, but I believe AI will play a really big part in it. I don't think he's going to be stepping out on the stage everywhere he goes. I think that we're going to see him around the world at the same time, at every time, and literally being watched through the AI system and the smart technology that we're surrounded by.
It's going to be a living hell. Now, you've said the 3.5 years is a marker. What happens after those 3.5 years?
The wrath of God hits and all hell literally breaks loose.
And for those that don't take the mark, they get a second chance. Do they just die in this world of hell and then go to heaven, or how does that work?
If they're a martyr, then yes, they will go to heaven. And the Bible even says they will be under the throne room until they're until the end, until, because we have a 1,000-year millennial after the 7 years. So literally, if they're martyred, they go into the throne room and they await. And other than that, they just live till the millennial reign comes.
So that's why it's important for the people that believe that they're going to be taken up in the rapture to leave behind something like a manual for the people that are left behind, correct?
Yes, it could be a manual or just a simple letter that says, if I'm gone, get to my house. Here's some instructions, write on personal letters, just whatever they want to leave behind for them.
If this was 10 years ago, I would have been like, I would have done this
No way. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have been laughing, kind of. Oh, this is cute.
Right.
Now, with everything that I think we're seeing, the world is seeing, it's more real than ever before, than ever before. And I think I'm every day. It's like during my awakening process, I kind of left the Bible and went into space aliens, extraterrestrials, evolution, that kind of stuff. And then I left it and then went right back to the Bible. Right back to the Bible with giants and the Nephilim and apocalypse. And now I'm talking about the rapture. I am becoming more and more of a believer. There's a number that sticks out in my mind, 144,000. I don't know if I brought this up before, but is there a number of people that are going to be taken in the rapture, or is there, we just don't know. We don't know how many are going to be taken because people throw around numbers, 144,000. I mean, what's the number? What does it say?
Well, if it's 144,000, only a few churches are going to go on it.
Yeah.
I mean,
Well,
but
that's
seriously.
very believable to me now.
But 144,000, there's several ways you can research the Bible in the different, like the Interlinear Bible, and it has an S on thousands. I recently learned that from a friend that it may not be just 144,000, maybe 144 thousands, but that's a whole nother teaching. The Bible does say that around the altar there were thousands and thousands and thousands from every tongue, nation, and tribe. So I believe there will be millions and millions of people going in the rapture. But with the amount of people on earth, that means you're going to have millions and millions left behind that have most likely heard their mother and their grandmother talk about God, and they just didn't want to listen. And those are the people that are going to be quick to look for answers. The people that know who Jesus is, and they just didn't accept him, they're going to be really quick to be like, oh no, I was wrong. I've got to find out what to do. And that's who we need to leave the letters for.
I think not the baby boomers, but the millennials, Generation X, now definitely Generation Z, man. Generation Z to me seems completely lost. I've never
Yes.
seen anything like this. It's just they're confused on who they are. I believe many of them are possessed with a Baphomet demon. I think that they're a captured generation, a lot of them, a lot of them. I'm not going to say all of them, but a lot of them. Obviously, if anyone's going to be taken up in the rapture, it's going to be mainly the baby boomers and the Generation Xers, right? I mean, it seems to me like as each generation goes by, it's almost like more and more godless or less and less God in their life.
I agree. This does seem like the great falling away. I mean, more and more people are, once they stayed home and started watching TV, I mean, watching church on TV or by Zoom, a lot of people didn't go back to church, and they're falling into the world and falling away from God.
Do you think church is necessary? I mean, I don't go to church, but I pray every day, and I pray to God every day. I just don't like being around a lot of people. I mean, if you want the truth, I really don't like to be around people. I'm just being, that's just some people like me rather not be around people. I just, yeah, that's, I do my podcast, this is about as close as I like to get.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I think your salvation, it's your relationship with God. It's your faith. It's that daily walk that you have with God. I do know there's a lot of people that are not in church. I mean, there's a lot of elderly people that do not go to church, and they love the Lord with all their heart, and their relationship is strong. And the church building doesn't make your salvation. The church body that you're interacting with, that's your spiritual family. It's your brothers and sisters. But what's in your heart and your salvation and your walk with God is, that's your salvation, accepting Christ.
I used to tell people, how can you say I have no faith? I used to make the sign of the cross when I'd get into the ring and before every fight, and I would give my health and my life, and I'd say I'm gonna die in here if it's gonna go down that way. I fought to the death, and I remember every time in the dressing room and going into the arena, going into the ring, I gave my life to the Lord. And I used to tell people all the time, you may go to church all you want, but do you really test your faith? I put it on the line, and I put it to God. And I really, like, in other words, I was putting my life on the line every time I got in the ring against these guys that were much bigger than me. Some were way more powerful than me. And I would put my life on the line getting in there. And I feel like that was an ultimate test in my way to show God that how much I really do love him and putting my spirit and soul in the line. Do you agree with that at all? I mean, do you see that as a way to really show your faith? I mean, that's how I did it. That's how I felt. That's how I felt my soul was tested.
I understand what you're saying. Are you asking me if I see that as faith?
Well, I mean, the fact that I would even put it out there, you know, that I would show my faith to
Oh,
people, that I would get
yes,
in the
you put your
ring and I
faith
would,
on. Yes.
right. But I mean, I wasn't much of a churchgoer, but I still believe so much that I would put my heart and my life and my soul on the line to get in
You're
there and,
publicly declaring Jesus as your
right.
Savior, basically. Yes.
But
Yes.
knowing that I may not get out of there, knowing that, you know, any kind of wrong hit, you're out, you're done, and it's over. To me was a test of faith.
Right. I understand that. Definitely sounds like it.
Just getting your view on this. I just, you know, I guess the hardest thing for me to understand is going to church. You know, I have friends that go to church 3 times a week. I have friends that go once a week. I have friends that go every couple of months. I don't know. I always feel like I have a constant connection with God, and that's fine with me. And are you saying that if you don't go enough times to church, you're not going to be,
No.
you know what I'm going, you see where I'm going with this?
Yes, we're not saved by works. We're saved by his works. So keep that in mind. You can't earn your salvation. It's not how many times you showed up at church. It is your relationship. You're accepting Christ. You're accepting Jesus as your Messiah. He won our salvation through his sacrifice on the cross. We're not winning. We're not getting our salvation by our works. It's by his works.
May I ask, are you Catholic or are you?
No, I'm non-denominational, which means Pentecostal. We believe in the works of the Holy Spirit in our life today and doing the work of God.
Because depending on who you ask, I mean, they'll tell you, like, I have Catholic friends that tell me that if you're not going to church enough, you haven't gone to confession, you haven't taken the Eucharist. I mean, I have friends that tell me like those are all bad, and you know I'm not going to be saved if I don't do that. I'm not going to be taken up in the rapture. Do you disagree with that?
I do disagree because I take communion every Sunday when I go to church. I take communion at home. When I take communion, I'm not taking it because it's a religious thing that I'm doing every Sunday at 11 o'clock. I'm taking communion because I'm acknowledging this is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I'm taking it because I know it covers my sins and my healing and my forgiveness. When I say my prayers, I'm not saying it because I'm doing, the sign of the cross at church. I'm saying my prayers because I am having communication with my creator and my Messiah. So that's where I get back to. It's about your relationship. It's about that person
Not
that you
the
love and
structures of
adore.
religion, not the
Right?
fundamental.
Yes. No, I was just saying it's about that person who died on the cross, that it's about our creator who sent his son. That is the person that you're in love with and you walk with every day and you talk with, and the Holy Spirit who protects you and guides you. It is that tangible person you can't see, but you can feel. You can't see them, but you can talk to them. You can sense the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the
Right.
relationship
Well,
to me.
there's a big difference between religion and spirituality.
Yes.
And I agree with that. You know, I never really felt comfortable telling another man, a priest, my sins. I used to do it just to do it because, you know, I went to Catholic school, but the rigid ceremonial having the ceremony of going to church and doing the Stations of the Cross, the confession, the communion. I mean, that's another reason I kind of steered away from it because it was so rigid. It reminded me of school, probably because I went to a Catholic school, so it was a school and church came together. And I wasn't a very good student, so I've always just wondered that, and I've always felt like, well, if I feel Jesus Christ in my heart, I feel like I'm going to be okay.
Yes.
So the rapture, you believe, is 100% real. It's coming. It'll take just a very select few. And those that are taken, that know they're going to be taken, I guess they have a they feel that they're going to be taken, need to leave something behind for those that aren't.
Yes. I will say one thing, the select few, I'm not saying that the Lord will only take a select few. He will take his children. He will take those who call him Lord, those that have accepted him and acknowledge him as their Messiah. Some people say the kid who said the prayer when they were in high school and then lived the rest of their life on drugs and doing everything in the world. Again, that is debated. I can't be the one to answer that. Will every single person who has ever said the sinner's prayer go in the rapture? That one, I don't want to be the judge of that one. What I do tell people is today, like in the world we're living in, make sure you're right with the Lord. If you said the sinner's prayer at 5 years old or 10 or 12 years old, say it again and get your life right. I would not bank on living a life as a heathen if I only said the prayer as a child. You know what I mean? So there's a fine line between that. But yes, I do believe a lot of people are going to go, but a lot of people are left behind. And my mission is witnessing to those left behind.
But the ones that are left behind, they do have a second chance.
Yes, it is in the Bible. It's proof. It'd be a whole nother lecture, teaching to sit here and go through all the verses, but pull out your Bible, read in Revelation, especially 12 to 15, read what goes on in those chapters. It's several times you will see you do have a second chance, but you cannot take the mark of the beast.
So here it
And I
is,
will
folks.
say that could be in your, it'll be in your right hand or your forehead is what the Bible says. So they need to keep an eye out for that.
So here it is, folks. International best-selling author Stacey Bowles releases her book For a Second Chance, Turn the Page, A Story of Faith, Prophecy, and Revelation. This is incredible. Man, Stacey, I really appreciate you coming on. So people just need to go to Amazon to get the book.
They can go to Amazon or the website, which is therevelationgeneration.com.
TheRevelationGeneration.com or Amazon. Stacey, thank you so much. This was sobering to me. I haven't really talked to a lot of people about this on my podcast. You're the first, so I really appreciate this, and hopefully people listen because I think we're close.
Hope so.
I think we're very close.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me on.
You got it, Stacey. I know there was some mix-up, folks. I tried to get her on yesterday, today. I mean, it was a mess. I appreciate you, Stacey.
Thank you.
God bless.
All righty. God bless you.